You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Well, hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And this is a sad episode. News breaking on Wednesday afternoon from ESPN's Jeff Goodman that after 15 years as the head coach of the University of Washington men's basketball team, Lorenzo Romar has been fired.
Wow. I'm coming to you live. This is such an emergency edition that I'm coming to you live outside of Seattle's historic Paramount Theater on a gloomy Wednesday in more ways than one in Seattle.
Yeah, it feels about right. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and you noted that I seemed more okay with the idea of firing Romar than when I passionately defended him earlier in the season. But now that the finality of it has hit home, now that it's kind of sunk in, I'm really bummed out about it. I mean,
I'm sad. Yeah.
I mean, number one, I think it's possible the Huskies will have a better head coach than Lorenzo Romar in my lifetime, but I don't think there's ever going to be a coach I like more than Lorenzo Romar. And then number two, even though I no longer had faith that next year was going to be a good year, even with Michael Porter in this great recruiting class that was lined up, I don't have much. I have equally little faith that the Huskies will find the right person to hire as a replacement.
Okay. I want to talk about potential replacements in just a little bit, but we should give some time to Lorenzo Romar himself.
We should. So when we were preparing for this, because we knew this was a possibility, one of the questions you asked was, where does Romar rank among Seattle coaches of our lifetime?
Okay. And so, not just Husky basketball, all of Seattle, every single sport.
Well, I mean, come on, there haven't even been that many Husky basketball coaches in your lifetime. Like, how old were you when Romar was hired? 17?
I think I was younger. 16?
Oh, yeah, 16. Yeah, no, I had it a year off.
I mean, that's part of the thing that I was thinking about with Lorenzo Romar, where you say that he's the head coach for 15 years. That's almost my entire adult life that Lorenzo Romar was the head coach of UW basketball.
It is. I mean, the last time they changed coaches, I was 20 and a sophomore in college. You again were 15. Now you have, I believe, like 7 or 8 children.
Uh-huh. Up to 10.
Yeah. So this is a big deal. And I mean, leading the Huskies to at least in modern times, unprecedented heights, a number one seed, multiple trips to the Sweet 16, all of that. So, all right. Do you want to hear my rankings then? I don't know.
I want to hear your rankings. Yeah.
All right, my top 10, starting at the top. Number one, Don James.
Okay.
Number two, Pete Carroll. Number three, Lenny Wilkins, although it's a little bit of a stretch, really.
Stretch for our lifetime. But basically the coaches who have led Seattle teams to championships.
Right, so that's got to be in the Mount Rushmore. Number four, George Karl. Number five, Lou Piniella. I think those two guys are very similar there, just behind the people who led the teams to championships.
Yes. And people who, formative basketball coaches, well, formative Seattle sports coaches for us, not just Lou Piniella. I don't know how he would be as a basketball coach.
No, probably not very good.
But formative coaches for us growing up who had teams that were both exciting and very good, but never could quite get over the hump. And I think that's what the legacy of both of those managers will end up being.
So I put Romar right behind those guys in sixth, ahead of Mike Holmgren, which I think is probably the dispute. To me, then there's a huge drop off between seventh, and then the rest of my top 10 was Rick Neuheisel, Chris Peterson, Ziggy Schmidt.
Huh. There have not been that many great coaches. Well, I mean, the thing you have to look at with Lorenzo is both taking a program which basically had nothing when he came in and turning them into, even still to this day, recruiting-wise, a program that's able to compete at the highest level.
Yep.
A program that before he was there would have never dreamed of being a number one seed, even in the best Bob Bender years.
And that's why I think before this season, he was really in many ways a victim of the expectations that he created. Like this whole, yes, they can't get through to the Elite Eight. No one said that about Bob Bender, who, you know, did actually come very close to getting to the Elite Eight, but also had several seasons where the team wasn't competitive. This was the only season that really was comparable to many Bob Bender seasons.
And I think the last season, if you want to look at Lorenzo Romar and Mike Holmgren came in, kind of built the program. Mike Holmgren definitely didn't build the Seahawks from scratch. There was a lot in place before he got here, but took the Seahawks to a new level and then reached that highest point when you look at Super Bowl 40 or getting a number one seed. And then maybe the game passed them by a little bit. Maybe their teams got old. But somebody who, you look at Mike Holmgren in his last season, I think they went 4-12, right?
That sounds right. Are you saying that the next Husky coach is going to be the Jim Mora of Husky basketball coaches?
Yeah. Oh, no. 1 year.
Yeah, I don't think
then
that's
we get
happen.
Pete Carroll out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would sign up for that trade-off.
You're feeling you're more upset about this than you thought you'd be.
I am, because, you know, you look at the way this has played out. There's a lot of other schools in a similar tier to UW that have fired their coaches and are looking for replacements. Okay. So Missouri was on that list until they hired Konzo Martin today, but that just means Cal is on that list now. Illinois, I think, is another team that's in that vein. I don't know if I've got a full list of coaching changes here, but, you know, there's a number of, like, there's not any open, like, tier one jobs, but I don't think the Huskies belong in that tier. Do you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the only way that you would look at them as being in that tier is because of the elite level talent that Lorenzo Romar has been able to bring in the last couple of years and who he has coming. So how do you think this affects Michael Porter Jr. going forward?
Well, it depends who they hire. I mean, you're inevitably hear the name Brandon Roy based on the success that he had this year coaching Nathan Hale and coaching Porter. To me, that doesn't make sense as a transition, and I'm not, you know, we've talked about this in the past. I'm not sure how excited he would be to replace his mentor. Then there was also the notion that they should just promote Michael Porter Sr. to head coach. Again, I'm not sure how excited he's going to be to replace, you know, his best friend, the godfather of his child, Michael Porter. Like, all of that, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Absolutely. Well, you said to me, I don't know why Missouri would have announced this Konzo Martin decision before a Lorenzo Romar decision was made, right?
I mean, it just seems so logical for him to go to Missouri, given his ties to the area, having coached at St. Louis, given the fact that the Porters, you know, that Michael Porter Sr. was an assistant coach for the women's basketball team, the elder daughters of the Porter family play for the Missouri women's basketball team. It seems like a no-brainer to try to bring them there. And, you know, maybe they think that Konzo Martin will be able to do that if Romar isn't coaching anywhere and Brandon Roy isn't at UW.
Well, what I said to you was hiring a coach based upon the possibility of getting, and granted the Porters are more than just one player, there are a couple generations of Porters, but of getting, you know, three players over the next 3 years isn't a very win forever decision.
It's not.
And when I said that to you, I thought to myself about the Huskies right now, which basically the situation is set up that Lorenzo Romar would have obviously been fired had Michael Porter and the rest of the recruiting class who are hypothetically coming in next year, if they're not signed, right?
Yes.
Lorenzo Romar is gone for sure. But so, using that same logic and saying that it's not a very win forever decision to keep Konzo Martin or to hire Lorenzo Romar over Konzo Martin, it's not a very win forever decision to keep Lorenzo Romar around just because he has a potential 1 year fix.
But you're also keeping him around because of the fact that he's the most successful coach in UW basketball history. Like, it's different than Missouri hiring him fresh, because also you're not committing to him for the next 10 years. You're committing to, we know things are not, there's no scenario in my mind where whoever comes in next year, it's going to be more successful than Romar would have been with this recruiting class.
Sure. But that's 1 year, and we're not talking about 1 year, and we shouldn't be looking at building for 1 year.
But who is, right, this coach who they're going to hire who's going to be the solution for the next 10 years? Who is that name?
Look, I don't know the answer to that question, who this hypothetical coach is, but I know that the hypothetical coach is not Lorenzo Romar.
All right, I want to give you two bold predictions here.
Okay, I am so ready to hear that. I want to hear, okay, so first off, I want to hear options for that you think are reasonable people for replacing Lorenzo Romar. And then also talk about some of the best moments in Lorenzo Romar basketball, Husky basketball history.
All right, maybe let's wrap with that.
What I want to end with. I want to end on a positive note, maybe a little bit somber as we look back on it.
I mean, okay, here's who I think they are going to hire. I think they're going to hire Eric Musselman.
Okay, tell us about Eric Musselman.
So he's a former longtime NBA assistant, was the head coach briefly of the Warriors, and I believe the Kings was his other job, also the son of a longtime NBA coach, Bill Musselman. Then went to the college ranks, was an assistant coach at Arizona State, so he's got some Pac-12 experience, and then became the head coach at Nevada before last season. And this year they went 28-6, beat the Huskies in Seattle on a buzzer beater, you'll recall.
Which wasn't hard to do this year.
Well, that's true.
Yale did the same thing, but okay.
And I don't think they're hiring that James Jones. Won the Mountain West Conference Tournament and are a 12 seed in the NCAA Tournament. But the reason I think this is teams tend to hire the opposite of the coach they fired. And I think that Musselman is sort of the opposite in terms of, you know, on the scale of how much of their success is tied up in X's and O's, style of play. It's a much slower style of play that, you know, relies more on quality shooting than on athleticism. And then his experience coaching in the NBA, the fact that he wasn't like a prominent player, all of those. And then the other thing is, then this is again gets back to why I don't think this makes sense. Who are the hot names on the West Coast, like that have any plausible ties to the West Coast? Like Randy Bennett has been mentioned as a candidate at Cal. I mean, I think that would make some sense for them. I don't know that he makes sense for UW necessarily. He hasn't recruited in that the level at which UW is recruiting. His success has been mostly based on getting players from Australia. And I don't think that's necessarily a wise strategy for the Huskies because there is so much local talent that you're always going to be able to recruit. I mean, people will mention the prominent names in terms of coaches at successful big mid-majors. You know, Greg Marshall at Wichita State will surely get mentioned, but I believe he's making $3 to $4 million a year, so that's going to be a lot for the Huskies to pay on top of a buyout for Lorenzo Romar. Beyond that, I don't know.
You've kind of sold me on Eric Musselman there, to be honest.
Oh, no, I don't think that. I don't know. I'm not a particular Eric Musselman fan.
Really?
No.
Well, basically, the way that you sold me on the idea of Eric Musselman is turning around Nevada in 1 year, and then also somebody who's an X's and O's coach and not just relying on basically bringing in a lot of talent.
I mean,
trying to help them figure it out.
The one thing is, like, their defense was this year they were 34th in the country in offensive efficiency on KenPom. They were 100th in defensive efficiency. Now,
where did the Huskies rank?
Significantly worse than that, as we've discussed. And they also started no player taller than 6'8", although their center, Cameron Oliver, is a guy who's an NBA prospect and was an outstanding shot blocker. But I would rather get someone with a defensive base who can build around the, you know, offensive talent that you're going to be able to bring in Seattle. I mean, to me, the dream coach, obviously there's less than 0% chance of this happening. Someone of the Tony Bennett mold is who you would want.
Yeah, we missed the Tony Bennett window. I don't know if Tony Bennett would have ever come here, given the fact that his family is so connected to Wazoo, but...
Also, it would have been a really weird time to fire Robar right during the midst of a bunch of, like, Sweet 16 runs to hire Tony Bennett.
Yes.
Would have been a very odd decision. I don't think it would have gone over well. But that to me, someone who plays the pack line defense, which I think is the best modern defense, and, you know, can just put athletes in that system and then, you know, rely a little bit more on their skill offensively as opposed to some elaborate system that's going to compensate for their talent. But like I said, Nevada was the 34th best offense in the country this year, and I don't think you would say they had the 34th best talent. So.
Yeah.
We'll
and able to play some defense with a very small team. I don't, I'm kind of open to this idea.
Can I give you?
You said you had a second bold prediction.
Yeah, my next bold prediction: whoever the Huskies hire as coach will not last more than 5 years.
Really?
And not even necessarily in a bad way. Because the other thing that concerns me about this, and one of the things that I loved so much about Lorenzo Romar, UW was his dream job. Like,
yes,
I think he probably could have gotten the UCLA job when Steve Alford got it, had he really wanted it. He didn't want it. There were times where he got feelers from the NBA, from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wasn't that interested. He wanted to be at the University of Washington because he went to school here and just loves this school, which is part of what makes this so sad for me. Who is the coach the Huskies are going to hire who's not Brandon Roy, who feels equally strongly about the University of Washington? Like, if you hire Eric Musselman and he's very successful, why isn't he just going to jump to a better job? Like, like it's similar to what happened with Konzo Martin, where he was at Cal for I think 2 years and then moved on to theoretically a bigger school. I'm not even sure it is, but like, why? I don't want that happening. That's one of the things I like about Chris Peterson on the football side, besides for the fact that he's extremely good. But UW seems like,
if only we could find somebody who had a tie to the Northwest and was maybe the best college football coach this side, of Nick Saban.
But that, and the Huskies kind of got lucky there. But there is no Chris Peterson. Chris Peterson is not walking through that door. And the one thing I'm probably not acknowledging here is there's a lot of randomness in coach hiring. Like Romar was what, like the fifth or sixth choice when the Huskies hired him? They wanted Dan Monson, who completely washed out at Minnesota.
So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I think that's part of what makes this a difficult day, is the day that they're moving on from Lorenzo Romar. He was the Husky basketball coach, right? It's not like we've seen other people and been like, oh, you know, there are a lot of different people who do this job. It was Lorenzo Romar is the Husky basketball coach, right? And he was going to be that basically for as long as he possibly could. And unfortunately, it's ending in a negative way rather than him retiring and going down as, you know, maybe indisputably the best coach in Husky basketball history.
Yeah, and you wanted him to be like Marv Harshman, to be like sitting in the crowd after he's retired and still part of the program.
He
the
may
family.
Still be.
I mean, Marv Harshman was pushed out.
Rule out that idea.
And he ended up in that role. So, yeah, so you can't rule it out.
I mean, I think Mike Holmgren was pushed out and still hosts a radio show about the Seahawks every week. Still lives in Kirkland, Washington. But the other argument is you don't need a coach who's connected to your city. I don't believe this argument. I mean, like, is Sean Miller really connected to Arizona? I understand that's a bigger school. But what are Dana Altman's connections to Oregon? Sometimes you just need to go find a good coach, somebody who can even increase the profile of your school so that if they do leave, you can find a better coach after that.
I don't know. I just Dana Altman is to me the platonic ideal of someone I don't want as my team's basketball coach. He's very good at what he does. To me, he has nothing going for him beyond the ability to win and lose games.
You led with the platonic ideal of what you don't want as your team's basketball coach, and the first thing you said was he's very good at what he does.
You know, didn't manage the team's off-court scandal very well. Just constantly constant turnover the first few years, which is not what I want ideally in a team. Like, you know, if players are going to the NBA and achieving their personal goals, that's one thing, but if you're constantly having guys get run off, I don't think that's what I want on my basketball team. I don't know. I mean, clearly I value different things in my basketball coach than many Husky fans.
I think that this is a hot take here. I think that we would like any coach who wins at the University of Washington.
I don't know. I'm not even sure I'm going to be a Husky basketball fan anymore.
Oh, come on. This is ridiculous. Like, you're not going to be. You're like Earl Thomas saying he was going
to
retire.
It's not that fun to watch. We've well documented on this podcast. College basketball is not fun to watch. And
it's like work. You do it because you have to.
Basketball is already work for me. I don't need more of it. I've got plenty.
Okay, so those are your two hot takes. I like the second hot take because it's far enough into the future that no one could ever possibly remember this.
I mean, we're pretty good at saving real audio on this podcast.
5 years from now?
All right, let's remember the good times. So,
yeah, because there were many. I mean, so... What, aside from probably the obvious moment, they're to me the two best moments, one of which didn't even occur on the court, in the Lorenzo Romar era.
Uh-huh.
And number one, this is just because chronologically, because it happened first, was getting a number one seed.
Yeah. Unprecedented. And the fact that it came out of nowhere. Like, it would be one thing if the Huskies had gotten one seed and everyone had expected it all along, but no one expected that.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't have gotten a one seed.
No, and it probably would have been better for them if they didn't get a one seed because they wouldn't have run into Louisville in the Sweet 16.
Yes, who probably should have been a one seed. or they could have run into Louisville as an underdog and maybe things would have been better. But it was like being a number one seed for us growing up was something that other teams did.
Yep.
It was a thing that happened to Arizona and to UCLA and to North Carolina and to Duke, but that could never possibly happen to UW. And I think it's probably similar to the way that Gonzaga feels right now, although they're more or less an established basketball power at this point.
Yeah, they've been a one. Haven't they been a one seed before? They were one seed 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
All right, screw it.
Maybe then.
Gonzaga's used to this. But it was something that didn't happen to the University of Washington basketball. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, we're part of the national conversation here. And being a number one seed means something. It's the same as Husky football right now, although I hope it has a different long-term fate, being part of the college football playoff in the same way where we were the fourth number one, we were the fourth seed in the college football playoff, went into it maybe a little bit overmatched playing against Alabama, but we said to ourselves, we're on this stage now and we can build from here. And then the second moment, and the Huskies did build from there, I have to say. They had many great years after that. But the second moment is Isaiah Thomas.
Here we are, by the way. Conzo Martin is hiring Michael Porter Sr., according to Paul Pianparty of ESPN.
Okay, so Michael Porter will be headed to Missouri.
Oh, and Percy Allen reports, this is also me catching up on my timeline here, expected to be a mass exodus at UW. Three starters and three incoming recruits say they're thinking about transferring. So good luck with that, people who are going to remain Husky fans. All right, second moment.
Okay, so the number two best moment. Do you think Lorenzo feels a little bit good about this? Everything being torn down after him. But the second best moment being Isaiah Thomas, hitting what is maybe still the most exciting shot of Isaiah Thomas' career.
Which is saying something. Yeah, I mean, everything came together perfectly on that play. Like, the fact that Gus Johnson was calling it an impeccable highlight. Like, you could not do better for that as a highlight unless it was, like, in the NCAA tournament, I guess, and would have to probably be pretty deep in the NCAA tournament.
Pretty much the best individual highlight in Husky basketball history.
Yes.
And having that play come at the end of a tournament where in the first round on a late Thursday night, you have Klay Thompson dueling against Isaiah Thomas in a game that I still remember as being one of the better college basketball games that we've ever watched. And then going forward from that, having them win another game, and then Isaiah hitting the most iconic shot in Husky basketball history. It was an awesome weekend to be a Husky basketball fan.
Yes, it was.
Are there any other moments which stand out from the Romar era to you?
Not really in terms of individual moments. I mean, it's weird because it's probably so much easier to think of, like, the just missed moments in some ways. Like,
yes, there are a lot more.
Like, obviously, 2006 against UConn. And, you know, that actually to me is an interesting thing because Mike Jensen's foul was costly there. Brandon Roy fouling out was costly there. But the Huskies might have won if they had fouled up three, though the math on that is kind of mixed. And that's an interesting example where Romar, like, adjusted his strategy based on that. And then in future situations, effectively fouled up three. And that's one of the criticisms I think you'll hear of Romar. Is that, like, he didn't, you know, you said earlier the game passed him by, and I think that may be true in terms of the defensive rule changes and his ability to put together an effective defense. But then there's also, like, some extreme Romar critics who, like, think that, oh, he got this big contract and all of a sudden started to rest on his laurels. And that, to me, is entirely incompatible with everything I know about Lorenzo Romar, from, you know, changing his philosophy on that to embracing analytics, which was not something he was interested in at all when he started here. And, you know, they ended up having one of the most robust statistical analysis departments of any college team in the country. Didn't probably get a lot of attention for that because of the fact that it didn't translate into wins and losses. But, you know, that's an example to me of he was willing to rethink a lot of things, and he desperately, desperately wanted to win at this university, and it just didn't happen.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that's a good note to go out on. All right, well, stay tuned to the Pelton Cast for continuing coverage of the Huskies coaching search and the next coaching search by 2022. On that note.
Thanks for listening.